Our sermon text this morning is Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, you have spoken and called the earth. We pray, shine forth out of Zion. You are the perfection of beauty. Do not keep silent. Let the heavens declare your righteousness. Speak, for you are our God. We do not hate your instruction. Let us not cast your words behind us. Guard our mouths from evil, our tongues from deceit. And set your ways before us, that we offer you praise and glorify you. By your Spirit, we would order our conduct aright. O Lord, show us your salvation in Jesus Christ, your Son. Speak to us now. Open our ears and give us hearing. Give us understanding. Give us love for you and your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this, the Abraham narrative, beginning in Genesis chapter 12. The first eight chapters of Abraham's story have been built up for the birth of Isaac. From Abraham, from the Lord's call upon Abraham, the Lord has repeatedly promised that Abraham would have descendants, that Abraham would have seed. Now, Isaac is born in chapter 21, which we read last Lord's Day. And in that chapter, Abraham also had to sacrifice Ishmael, sending him away. So this promise of seed, multiple seed, and now Abraham has a son, Isaac, and he has to get rid of his other son, Ishmael. And now in our sermon text this morning, the very next chapter of the story, the Lord tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, now his only son. Now for us, it's only two chapters. But it is how the Spirit is telling the story. But for Abraham and Isaac, it's been many years together. Despite what our children's Bibles might say, this is not a sacrifice of a baby. It's not a sacrifice of a toddler or a little boy. Similarly to when Abraham sacrificed Ishmael, Isaac was a teenager. He was a lad, as the text tells us. So like Ishmael, Abraham had spent many years with Isaac, raising him, teaching him, preparing him for manhood in the covenant. And here, the Lord puts Abraham to the test again. He sent out Ishmael, and now he has to sacrifice Isaac. This is not the first time the Lord had tested Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, the Lord says to Abraham, "Leave your family. Leave your home and go to another place. Abraham, circumcise your son. Circumcise yourself. Circumcise your whole house. Trust in me now for your seed." And now in Genesis 22, sacrifice Isaac, the seed of promise. These are all tests in the Abraham story that Abraham is passing. He is proving faithful. And we see from the call of Abraham to this point, the Lord has tested Abraham throughout his life. The Lord has tested throughout his life. Abraham trusted in the promises of God. He trusted that the Lord would bless Ishmael when he sent him off. He trusted that Isaac is still the promised seed. And Abraham reveals this in his words and his deeds here in Genesis 22. He brings two witnesses in this act of faith. And on the third day, Abraham says to his men, verse 5, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Now, Abraham knows what God has commanded him. He knows he has to sacrifice Isaac. He knows what he has to do and where this is going. He knows what's going to happen on the mount. But Abraham trusted in the Lord. He was living by faith according to the word. Isaac's life would be given up by a sacrifice. But the Lord had promised Abraham that many descendants would come from Abraham's loins. So Isaac, the promised son, is about to be offered as a sacrifice. However this is going to work, Abraham knew what the Lord had promised, so he proceeded by faith. And as he ascended that mount, he knew if he killed Isaac by faith, the Lord would raise him up. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." So in Abraham's ascent with his only son Isaac, he trusted in resurrection. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Isaac's life was central to the promises of God. They were essential enough that Abraham could send out Ishmael by faith in Genesis 21. Abraham knew God's promises, which included Genesis 3:15, when the Lord said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his heel, and he shall crush your head." The seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. All the seed promises pointed forward first to Isaac. You see, Abraham didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before him. Isaac was it at that point in history. Abraham had to believe God would accomplish much through Isaac. So if Isaac died and was not raised up, the promises of God would be void. And Abraham had seen the great lengths to which God went in Egypt and Gerar to preserve the promises. So Abraham would not doubt those promises now. Abraham was a faithful man. Abraham, according to the promises, he wanted a full quiver of children, of descendants. He wanted to be blessed. God promised to bless him. But he demonstrated faith in giving up his sons, first Ishmael and now Isaac. He knew, according to the promises of God, that the Lord would still fill his quiver. Now Isaac, he too went forward by faith. Isaac submitted to the will of his father. He consented to the sacrifice. Again, this is not a little one being offered. You can imagine the difficulty of convincing a teenager to lie down and let you kill him. But for Isaac, he consented to the sacrifice. Not his will, but his father's will be done. God's will be done. So Abraham, the faithful father, would offer Isaac, his son, to death. And going to the mount, Abraham made his son carry the wood on his back, the wood for his own death. Abraham, the father, raised the knife to pierce the flesh, to cut Isaac in half. And without the gracious intervention of the angel of the Lord, Abraham would have killed Isaac. Both men, Abraham and Isaac, committed to this sacrifice by faith. Abraham, by active faith. Abraham, by doing what the Lord told him to do. Isaac, by passive faith. By receiving what the Lord's will was done to him. And both are important, active faith and passive faith. There are times in life, brothers and sisters, where we need to do something. The Lord commands us to do it, and we have to carry it out. Obey God and act. Active faith. There are also times where the Lord brings trials. He brings tribulations upon us, and we must faithfully endure through the testing. Passive faith. Both are important in the life of a Christian. Active faith and passive faith. Now the Spirit testifies that in Abraham offering Isaac here, that he was justified in doing this. He heard the word, he carried out the command of God, and by this he was justified. James writes, and you'll see it on the inside cover of your liturgy, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Do you agree with that statement? Do you agree with that question by the Spirit? Can a man be justified by works? If so, how? How can we say such a thing? How can the Spirit of God say that a man is justified by works? Because this was an act of faith by Abraham, as we heard from Hebrews 11. This was a work that was filled with faith. It was a faith-filled work. By passing the test, the Lord declared Abraham was just before him. Now, Abraham didn't need to live in fear that God was angry with him, that God didn't love him, and he needed to do this to earn God's love. Abraham didn't need to live as though he wasn't already right with God, and now he knew for sure. No. God loved Abraham. He had blessed Abraham. He had protected Abraham. He had made promises to Abraham. And Abraham believed those promises. And by believing them, Abraham was just. And Abraham had to keep covenant with God. He had to continue to live by faith in what God commanded him. And when Yahweh called him to sacrifice his son, Abraham had to do it. He had to obey God. He couldn't fall back or default to some eternal election. Well, God, I'm eternally elect. I don't need to do this. He didn't have to say, well, I'm regenerated, so I don't need to do this. He didn't have to say, once saved, always saved. Obey God. Do what he says. Believe him that he is God. And you belong to him. Obey him or fail his testing. Brothers and sisters, we have regular tests of faith in our life. And God graciously, through these tests, declares our justification before him. You've already heard one this morning. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. You are just before God. You are in the presence of God for worship, and you have been declared just this day. Believe this and rejoice. God testifies in his word that we are his people. He loves us. We are right with him. We have to take that by faith, by his promises. If we do not receive that by faith, if we do not live by faith, we break covenant with God. If we do not go forth from this house, obeying God, producing good fruit in our union with Jesus Christ, the Lord threatens to break us off. Now, in that threat, we need not fear that he doesn't love us when we go forth, that we are not united to Jesus Christ. We are to believe God. We are to believe his word and to live by faith every day of our lives. So Abraham passed the test. He offered his son Isaac. He was prepared to kill him with the knife. But the angel of the Lord intervened. Now again, this angel of the Lord is likely the pre-incarnate Son of God. And we know this is one of the persons of the Trinity, and not simply an angel. Verse 12. And the angel said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So the Lord told Abraham to offer his son as a test of faith in God. And it is not an angel saying, "Now I know that you believe in angels." It is the angel of Yahweh. Since no one has seen the Father, this is likely, again, the second person of the Trinity. It is also noteworthy the other occasions where the angel of the Lord has appeared in Genesis. Can you remember? First 22 chapters of Genesis. Where have we seen the angel of Yahweh previously? Twice. Both appearing to Hagar. Both occasions concerning Ishmael. So we see here in the first 22 chapters of Genesis, three times the angel of Yahweh has appeared, all concerning sons. Angel intervening for the sons. So this pre-incarnate Son of God relieved Isaac of being the seed who would be bruised for the sin of man. God would provide that seed. The Son of God would come later in history and fulfill the gospel promise that was given in the garden, Genesis 3:15. Jesus, the true promised seed of the woman, he would be bruised on the cross. He would fulfill that promise. He would be the true sacrificed son. But then he would crush the head of the serpent in his glorious resurrection from the dead. So in Genesis 22, this offering of Isaac on the mount was a type of the sacrificial and redemptive death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Isaac, the promised son, was a type of Christ. If you read Genesis 22, again, the biblical typology, the symbolism is everywhere in this chapter. I encourage you this afternoon, sit, read it aloud with the kids, and hear how many references have to do with Jesus in this chapter. How many details allude to the future death and resurrection of Jesus? Genesis 22 testifies to the true seed, the Son of God, coming to fulfill the promises of God, including Genesis 22. Jesus himself, on the road to Emmaus, testified that all of the Old Covenant scriptures bear witness to him. That includes Genesis 22. The whole Old Testament is about Jesus. It's about his redemption. It's about the salvation of God. These first 22 chapters of Genesis have been about Jesus. And this reveals one great value of learning the Old Testament. We see the progress of God's redemptive plan through history. He shows how he has related to his people, how he has acted with his people, the promises he has made through time, and how he has brought them to fulfillment. We see how he has prepared the way for the coming of the Son, the great lengths to which he has gone. Look what he does here with Abraham and Isaac. What does it have to do with Jesus? Now, Israel and the Pharisees failed to receive Jesus because they did not see how the covenant scriptures bore witness to him. Israel had received all the blessings of the covenant, being God's people. The leadership, knowledgeable of the scriptures. Pharisees, the conservatives of Jesus' day. But they didn't understand the scriptures rightly. They didn't understand them in the light of Jesus Christ. And one temptation for the church is to not see, to not read the Old Testament in the light of Christ. To detach the Old Covenant scriptures as not being fulfilled in Jesus. As a separate redemptive work of God that does not bear witness to Jesus. This is how we are to read them. Read them in the light of Christ. What does this have to do with Jesus? When you do your family devotions, your family worship, and you read a passage from the Old Testament, what does this have to do with Jesus? What does this have to do with God's salvation plan? Abraham's tests Isaac's trial here were not only tests of faith for them, they also provided a type, a symbol. They provided an example for the people of God in history. We read and we hear that Abraham had to ascend the mount. Abraham had to bring a sacrifice in accord with the word of God. Abraham's sacrifice was the promised son. Abraham answered the call and passed the test of faith. So the Lord relieved him of killing his only son, Isaac. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." What that literally says is, "The Lord will see." This is the place where the Lord has seen and the Lord will see. The Lord will look to the mount and he will see the sacrificial death of the son. He saw Isaac on the mount, but he will see in history the offering of Jesus. And it will not be Isaac who dies for our sins. No, God will send his only begotten son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And moving forward in history, from the victorious death of Jesus Christ, the Lord will continue to meet his people on the mount. And each time his people gather for worship, he sees us in Christ. The Lord sees. He sees us in the death of Jesus. So we come to the Lord for worship. We come by faith. We hear the call. That's why worship starts with a call to worship. We hear the call and we respond by faith and we come. We come by faith like Abraham and Isaac did. We trust in the promises of God. And we meet him on the mount. God's word says we come to Mount Zion for worship. Now, it doesn't look like we're ascending a mount in this church building, but we are. We don't feel righteous. We're not righteous in ourselves. But God sees us as righteous in Christ. He sees us as sons. We take that by faith. We no longer need to bring our own sacrifice. The words of Psalm 96 from earlier are called to worship. "Give to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts." We don't need to bring a sacrifice. We don't need to bring an animal to be slayed. We trust in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ as the one-time sacrifice for all. And on this mount, we hear the proclaimed word. We hear the promises of God, and we believe them. Our sins truly are forgiven. Believe and rejoice. You are justified in God's sight. Believe that. And we depart knowing that God tests his people. The Father tests his children in love. Abraham's work wasn't done in Genesis 12 when he left Haran. He still had to walk by faith for his whole life. And this included the great test of sacrificing his one and only beloved son, Isaac. Abraham couldn't just fall back on a previous decision he made, an experience he had. The flaming torch and fire pot, I remember that. God told me I was justified then. I don't need to offer my son as a sacrifice. He could not default to that. He had to live by faith. He needed a living and active faith. He needed to be believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord sees. The Lord tests. He tests us as people, but we don't take this test alone. He unites with us through that testing. The Lord suffers with us in trials and graciously grants us perseverance. So, brothers and sisters, give yourself wholeheartedly to Him. Nothing separates us from His love and the blessings that He gives us in Christ. The same kind of faith that Abraham had is required of us. Don't live in some past decision you made. Walk forward by faith according to God's promises. And these are promises now and for the future. Promises in life and in death. If our lives should end today, believe the promises that the Lord will raise us again. And as bad as the world gets around us, as dire as it may look, believe His promises that He is doing something. He's doing something more glorious than we could ask or imagine. And He will return one day. And we, His people, will worship Him forever and ever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given Your only Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and an example of godly life, give us grace that we may always most thankfully receive His most inestimable benefit and also daily endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of His most holy life through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.